At this point, you're probably expecting to read something like, I suddenly realized that everything I thought I had known was untrue. Though I'll likely use that exact phrase, I should warn you that it is actually misleading. Everything I knew was not untrue. In fact, many of the things I'd learned about the world were quite true. For instance, I knew that the sun came up every day. That was not untrue, though, admittedly, that sun shone on a geography I didn't understand. I knew that my homeland was named the United States of America. That was not untrue, though the USA was not actually run by senators, presidents, and judges, but instead by a cult of evil librarians. I knew that sharks were annoying. This also was not untrue. There's actually nothing witty to add here. Sharks are annoying, particularly the carnivorous kind. You have been warned. I stared up at the enormous wall map and suddenly realized something. Everything I thought I'd known about the world was untrue. This can't be real, I whispered, stepping back.
I am afraid it is, Alcatraz, Singh said, laying a hand on my shoulder. That's the world, the entire world, both the Hushlands and the Free Kingdoms. This is the thing that the librarians don't want you to know about.
I stared. But it's so big. And indeed it was. The Americas were there, represented accurately. The other continents, Asia, Australia, Africa, and the rest, were there as well. They were collectively labeled Inner Libraria on the map, but I recognized them easily enough. The difference, then, was the new continents. There were three of them, pressed into the oceans between the familiar continents. Two of the new continents were smaller, perhaps the size of Australia. One, however, was very large. It sat directly in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, right between America and Japan. It's impossible, I said. We would have noticed a landmass like that sitting in the middle of the ocean.
You think you would have noticed, Singh said. But the truth is that the librarians control the information in your country. How often have you personally been out sailing in the middle of what you call the Pacific Ocean?
I paused. But just because I haven't been there doesn't mean anything. The ocean is like kangaroos and grandfathers. I believe that other people have seen it. Ship captains, airplane pilots, satellite images.
The librarians,
Bestial said, regarding the map through her sunglasses.
Your pilots fly, guided by instruments and maps that the librarians provide. And not many people sail boats in your culture, particularly not into the deep ocean. Those who do are bribed, threatened, brainwashed, or, most often, carefully misled.
Singh nodded.
Those other continents make sense, if you think about it. I mean, a planet that is 70% water? What would be the point of that much wasted space? I'd never have thought people would buy that lie had I not studied Hushlander cultures.
People go along with what they're told, Bastille said. Even intelligent people believe what they read and hear, assuming they're given no reason to question.
I shook my head. A hidden gas station I can believe. But this isn't some little cover-up or misdirection. There are three new continents on that map.
Not new, Singh said. The cultures of the Free Kingdoms are quite well established. Indeed, they're far more advanced than Hushlander cultures.
Bestial nodded.
The librarians conquered the backward sections of the world first. They're easier to control.
But, I said, what about Columbus? What about history?
Lies, Singh said quietly. Fabrications, many of them. The rest are distortions. I mean, haven't you always wondered why your people supposedly developed guns after more technology-advanced weapons like swords?
No, swords aren't more advanced than guns. Singh and Bastille shared a glance.
That's what they want you to believe, Alcatraz, Singh said. That way, the librarians can keep the powerful technology for themselves. Don't you think it's strange that nobody in your culture carries swords anymore?
No, I said, holding up my hands. Singh, most people don't need to carry swords, or even guns.
You've been beaten down, Bastille said quietly. You're docile. Controlled.
We're happy, I said.
Yes,
Singh said.
You're quiet, happy, and completely ignorant, just like you're supposed to be. Don't you have a phrase? Ignorance is bliss?
The librarians came up with that one, Bastille said.
I shook my head.
No,
I said.
This is too much. I was willing to overlook the self-driving cars. The magic glasses, well, they could be some kind of trick. Sneaking into a library? That sounded fun. But this? This is ridiculous. I can't accept it.
And likely, you Hushlanders are thinking the very same thing. You are saying to yourself, the story just lost me. It degenerated into pure silliness. And since only silly people enjoy silliness, I'm going to go read a book about a boy whose dog gets killed by his mother. Twice. Before you embark upon your voyage into canine-icide, I'd like to offer a single argument for your consideration. Plato. Plato was a funny little Greek man who lived a long time ago. He is probably best known for two things. First, for writing stories about his friends, and second, for philosophically proving that somewhere in the eternities there exists a perfect slice of cheesecake. Read the Parmenides. It's in there. At this moment, however, the reader should be less interested in cheesecake and more interested in caves. One cave, to be specific. Plato tells a story about a group of prisoners who lived in a very special cave. The prisoners were tied up, heads held so that they could only face one direction, and all they could see was the wall in front of them. A fire behind them threw shadows up on this wall, and these shadows were the only things the prisoners ever knew. To them, the shadows were their world. As far as they knew, there was nothing else. However, one of these prisoners was eventually released and saw that the world was much more than just shadows. At first, he found this new world very, very strange. Once he learned of it, however, he returned and tried to tell his friends about it. They, however, didn't trust him and didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to believe in this new world because it didn't make sense to them. You Hushlanders are like these people. You have, through no fault of your own, lived your entire life believing in the shadows the librarians have shown you. The things I reveal in this narrative will seem like nonsense to you. There is no getting around this. No matter how logical my arguments are, they will seem illogical to you. Your mind, struggling to find ways to hold on to your librarian lies, will think of all kinds of ridiculous concerns. You will ask questions such as, "But what about tidal patterns?" Or, but how can you explain the lack of increased fuel costs created by airplanes flying around these hidden landmasses? Since nothing I can say would be able to pierce your delusions, let the fact that I make no arguments stand as ultimate proof that I am right. As Plato once said that his friend Socrates once said, I know that I'm right because I'm the only person humble enough to admit that I'm not. Or something like that. I stood for a long moment, staring up at that map. Part of me, most of me, resisted what I was seeing. And yet the things I had experienced bounced around in my head, reminding me that many things, like gas station coolers and young men who set fires to kitchens, were not always as simple as they appeared. I'll deal with this later, I finally said, turning away from the map. Let's keep moving.
Finally, Bastille said, you Hushlanders. Honestly, sometimes it seems like it would take a hammer to the face to get you to wake up and see the truth.
Now, Bastille,
Singh said as we walked by a long, low filing cabinet.
That really isn't fair. I think young Lord Smedry is doing quite well, all things considered. It isn't every day that... Jack!
Singh said this last part as he suddenly and without apparent reason tripped and fell to the ground. I frowned, looking down, but Bastille burst into motion. She hopped dexterously over Singh, then grabbed me by the arm and threw me to the ground behind the filing cabinet. She ducked down beside me.
Why?
I began, rubbing my arm in annoyance. Bastille, however, clapped a hand over my mouth, shooting me a very hostile, very persuasive, silencing look. Then I heard something. Voices approaching. Bastille removed her hand, then carefully peeked out over the filing cabinet. I moved to do likewise, and Bastille shot me another glance. I could see the glare even through her sunglasses. This time, however, I refused to be cowed. If she can look, so can I, I thought stubbornly. I didn't spend 13 years being a troublemaker so I can get pushed around by a girl my age, even if she is a pretty good shot with that handbag of hers. I peeked over the cabinet. In the distance, moving between two lines of enormous bookshelves, I could see a group of figures. Most looked like they were wearing dark robes.
Librarian apprentices, Singh whispered, peeking up beside me. Doing their tasks. Somewhere in this room, the master librarians have placed one misfiled volume. The apprentices have to find it.
I eyed the nearly endless rows of tightly packed bookshelves.
That could take years, I whispered.
Singh nodded.
Some go insane from the pressure. They're usually the ones who get promoted first.
I shivered as the group moved off. There were a couple of much larger figures following them, and these weren't dressed in robes. They were entirely white, and their bodies moved in a not quite natural manner. They lumbered as they stepped, arms held too far to the sides. They trailed behind the librarian apprentices, moving with ponderous steps, some carrying stacks of books. I squinted, looking closer. The whitish figures glowed slightly, giving off a dark haze. The apprentices and the white figures turned a corner, disappearing from view.
What were those? I whispered. Those white things that were with them. Alivened, Bastille said, shivering.
She glanced at me, standing up.
When Singh trips, Smedri, always duck.
You trip whenever there's danger?
Of course not, Singh said. I only trip when there's danger and when tripping will be helpful. Or, at least, that's usually the way it works.
Better than your talent, Oculator, Bastille said with a snort. Do you want to tell me how you managed to break the carpet?
I glanced down. The carpet lay unraveled around me, separated into individual strands of yarn.
Come on, Bastille said. We should keep moving.
I nodded, as did Singh, and we continued along the perimeter of the musty library chamber. We walked in silence. The sight of the apprentices had reminded us of the need for stealth. However, it quickly grew apparent to me that searching through that room wouldn't lead us to the Sands of Rashid. Despite the room's many alcoves, the thousands upon thousands of bookshelves made it feel like a cubicle-filled office for demonic bibliophiles. It didn't seem like the kind of place where one kept objects of great power. I figured that the Sands would be in a locked room, or perhaps a laboratory, not a vast storage chamber. I spotted a stairwell to the right, and I waved to the others.
We should go up to the second floor.
Bastille raised an eyebrow.
We haven't finished checking this room yet.
We don't have time, I said, glancing at the hourglass Grandpa Smedri had given me.
This room is too big. Besides, it doesn't feel right. We're going to let the fate of the world rest on your feelings?
She asked flatly.
He is our oculator, Bastille, Singh reminded her. If he says we go up, then we go up. Besides, he's probably right. The Sands aren't likely to be here in the stacks. Somewhere in this building should be a lens forge. That's where they've probably got the Sands.
Bastille sighed, then shrugged.
Whatever,
she said, pushing past me to lead the way toward the stairs. Followed Bastille and Singh took the rear. The stairwell was made of stone, and it reminded me distinctly of something one might find in a medieval castle. It wound in circles around itself and was encased entirely in a massive stone pillar, lit by little frosted windows that let in marginal amounts of daylight. After several minutes of climbing the steep steps, I was puffing. Shouldn't we have reached the second floor by now?
Space distortion, Bastille said from in front of me. You didn't honestly expect the librarians to confine their entire base into a building as small as this one looks.
No, I said. I saw the stretching aura outside. But I mean, how far up can this stairwell go?
As far as it needs to,
Bastille said testily. I sighed but continued to climb. By that logic, the stairwell could go on forever. I didn't, however, want to contemplate that point. For how advanced you people always claim to be, I noted, you'd think that the librarians would have elevators in their buildings. Bastille snorted.
Elevators? How primitive.
Well, they're better than stairs.
Of course they aren't, Bastille said. It took society centuries to develop from the elevator to the flight of stairs.
I frowned. That doesn't make any sense. Stairs are far less advanced than elevators. She glanced over her shoulder, looking at me over the top of her sunglasses. I was annoyed to note that she didn't seem the least bit winded.
Don't be silly, she said. Why would elevators be more advanced than stairs? Obviously, stairs take more effort to climb, are harder to construct, and far more healthy to use. Therefore, they took longer to develop. Don't you realize how stupid you sound when you claim otherwise?
No, I said, annoyed. The opposite is stupid to me. Does everything you say have to sound like an insult?
Only when I intend to be insulting, she said, turning and resuming her climb.
I sighed, looking back at Sing, who just shrugged and smiled, still carrying his gym bag of guns. We kept moving. Stairs are more advanced than elevators? I thought. Ridiculous. Caves. Caves, shadows, and cheesecake. We eventually reached the top of the stairwell, and it opened out into a long hallway constructed of stone blocks. Along this hallway was a line of large, thick wooden doors set into stone archways. This is more like it, I said. I'll bet the sands are behind one of these doors.
Well, Bastille said, let's try one then.
I nodded, then walked up to the first door. I listened at it for a moment. But either there was no sound on the other side, or the wood was so thick that I couldn't hear anything.
See any darkness around the door?
Bastille whispered. I shook my head.
The dark oculator probably isn't in there then,
Bastille said quietly.
It could open into anything, Sing said.
Well, we'll never find the sands if we keep to the hallways, Bastille said.
I glanced at the other doors. None of them seemed to glow any more than the others. Bastille was right. We had to start trying them. And anyone was as good as the next. So, I took a breath and pushed against the door in front of me. I'd intended to move it open slightly so we could peek in, but the door swung far more easily than I'd expected. It flew open, exposing the large room beyond, and I stumbled into the doorway. The room was filled with dinosaurs. Real, live, moving dinosaurs. One of them waved at me. I paused for a moment. Oh, I finally said. Is that all? I was worried that I might find something strange in here.